welcome back to Cinema Gems, and as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral, and as always, we are in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist. And of course, guys, you're probably wondering, wait, what's going on? It's me right now speaking, of course, as always, but I can assure you that with the spooky season just starting officially in October, as you can tell by the title of this movie, the fantastic Miss Frieda is caressing an oogie boogie pillow, and the Honorable Tesla is caressing a stuffed face hugger. But Maestro, how are you doing in this spooky time?
I'm good. I unfortunately don't have any of my spooky stuffed animals on me. But hi, everyone. Welcome back to Cinema Gems. We are another show on the internet where a bunch of opinionated nerds talk about our favorite movies. And you saw the thing. We're talking about the original Alien today. And right on time, too, because I believe this year is an anniversary for this movie.
45 years.
45 years. This absolutely iconic piece of horror sci-fi fiction has influenced countless genres and countless different properties that all call themselves horror sci-fi, and they're all, whether it's Dead Space, whether it's you name it, so many of them owe what they do to Alien and to Ridley Scott.
To quote Wikipedia, Alien has been widely considered one of the greatest and most influential science fiction and horror films of all times.
100%. Hard agree.
Oh, and also in 2002, Alien was deemed cultural, historically, and aesthetically significant and put into the Library of Congress.
Good. It should be in the Library of Congress.
And it's preserved for the United States National Film Registry. It's a movie about space truckers.
Oh, 100% first and foremost. And that's really one of the things that makes the events in the movie so scary, is that it's happening to normal people. It really implies into your subconscious that this could be happening to you.
What about that opening shot with just the lines coming up and it being
incredible opening sequence, and the movie right away from the beginning with the slow crawl through these closed in spaces on a ship that is for some reason very humid inside and just looks uncomfortable, and even the closer we get to the crew, everything is too white and too sterile. It's weird, and they're all waking up from cryo sleep because the computer received a message. And right away we see that these guys on this ship do not have agency over what they're doing in space. They're not controlling where they're going. It's all being controlled by a mother AI.
Yep, mother. Which is spelled with a U instead of an O.
Mother.
Okay, and then so they wake up and they're told to go to this planet to check things out. And no, just to start off, this is not the same planet from Prometheus.
Okay, cool. I was going to ask that because as soon as I watched this movie, I went back and dove headfirst into so many Alien lore YouTube videos for additional context.
I believe it is in the same
like galaxy, solar space, system.
Not galaxy. So I think believe it's in the same solar system, but it's not the exact same planet.
Okay. That makes sense.
John Hurt, baby John Hurt. Let's be honest. Did you know that
absolutely
was him?
Absolutely, I knew
saw
that
it?
Was the war doctor. 100%, I knew that was I knew that was John Hurt.
Did
you know that the android Ash was Bilbo? Okay, cool.
Yes.
There is another cast connection you made before we started rolling. I want you to reveal it, though.
Yaphet Kotal, also known as Mr. Big from Live and Let Die.
Which is amazing, because right around the time we're recording this, our review of Live and Let Die should actually be dropping right about this week.
It's already out.
So, wow, what fantastic timing that out. We totally planned. Not at all accidental.
Oh, speaking of Yaphet Kotto, who played Parker, Ridley Scott specifically went to Mr. Kotto and told him, hey, mess with Sigourney Weaver when we're not recording, so it actually genuinely comes off like y'all kind of don't like each other. But actually, Mr. Kotto really liked Sigourney. Like, he was
and
like,
how can you not?
Nice.
Sigourney Weaver is, from what we can tell from the outside looking in, a genuinely kind and awesome person to work with. And she always puts out amazing performances.
And this was her first big film. Before she did this, she did a Pepsi commercial.
I would absolutely say this is her breakout role. And it really established her as a staple 100%. In the sci-fi and horror sci-fi space.
Yep. Okay, so there's a crew of seven. And six of them end up dying. But you want to know the really weird thing is? That if you don't count Dallas, so John Hurt,
yep.
Harry Dean Stanton, Ash,
yep.
and Yaphet Kotto die in the order that they died in real life.
Oh, man. That's a bummer.
If you take out
Dallas. Why did you have to tell me that, Admiral? That's so sad. I forgot that John Hurt passed away in 2017. Oh, man.
Yep. Harry Dean Stanton also passed away in 2017. Ian Holm passed away in 2020.
Veronica Cartwright seems to still be alive, though.
Oh, yeah. Veronica Cartwright, Tom Cedric, and Sigourney Weaver are the only three from the original crew of the Nostromo. Everyone else has unfortunately passed away. There was a scene when all four of them were in one scene, and I turned to Patron and I just go, hey, she goes, what? I said, everybody's dead in that shot. And she's like, wow, that's sad.
Let's see, what about...
That's sad.
What about?
I'm sorry to be that guy.
Because now I'm going
to
look at the people who weren't even, like, their faces weren't even in this. She's still alive. Oh no, she died in 2007. Helen Horton, the voice of Mother, passed away in 2007 as well.
Yeah, she died in 2007.
No, this movie does a great job of very slowly turning the valve of intensity throughout the movie, from shot number one when you're in this hallway through them landing on this planet, leaving the door open a little bit too long, people cutting off communication with each other, people going into dark hallways without looking where they're going, just doing a lot of unsettling things. They see the big, immediately they establish that whatever alien, whatever thing was here, took down something that is way bigger and probably more technologically advanced than any of them. When they get into this giant ship and it's this giant dude on a chair, skeletized, who's clearly been attacked by these aliens, I don't know, something about that shot puts so much fear into me, because they're establishing off the bat, the thing that you're about to be hunted by has hunted way harder things than you.
So this is where we get into the Prometheus and Alien Covenant. So that is called a space jockey, and those are called engineers.
Okay.
And they're really tall. And if you watch the opening sequence of Prometheus, basically it was kind of proven that an engineer was Jesus, and Earth killed Jesus. So when... when the engineers are coming back to destroy Earth, something happened, ergo this.
Yep.
Yeah. And did you know that Harrison Ford was up for the role of Captain Dallas, but turned it down?
He would have been fun, but I think he would have been too distracting. Having Tom Skerritt in there, who hasn't done a whole lot of other things. He was in Contact and MASH for a short time, or I think he was in the MASH movie, not the TV show.
Tom Skerritt?
Yeah, Dallas. Yeah. He was perfect. I loved him. He's in also that in role.
Top Gun.
Yep. He was fantastic. I loved watching him in this. He was great.
And then it's revealed by the company that Ash is an quote unquote alien because he's a science officer. Because Dallas
you mean an android?
Huh?
He's an android. They call him an android several times. You said alien. Sorry, Admiral. I don't want to confuse our listeners.
Sorry. Yes. Ash is an android. And he is a rogue AI in a way, kind of, but not really. So
here's the thing. Yes and no. You're on the right track. So the whole thing that makes this movie so internally terrifying and why it is so good at being a horror movie is that horror movies tap into our deepest fears. Well, what is the most deepest fear of someone who's just doing a job? Finding out that the people you're doing the job for do not have your back. And they find out the hard way that the company they've been sent out here by has suddenly shifted their priorities when they see something that they could take and use as a weapon on Earth. That's what's happened here. He's not a rogue AI. He's only rogue from the perspective of the crew. But Mother, representative of the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, gives him the directive of, no, your new priority is getting this thing to Earth to be a weapon, and the crew is now expendable. Yeah.
Yep.
It's tapping into the fear of everything you work for turning on you. Excuse me.
Oh, and you know the handheld camera operating system?
Yep.
In the movie?
Yep.
That was all done by Ridley Scott.
Awesome. It's all done incredibly well. There's so many incredible shots in this movie that are so good at laying on the intensity.
Did you check out H.R. Geiger and his original artwork for the alien
iconic Xenomorph? And irreplaceable. It's all just so disturbing. The fact that these things don't have eyes makes them so much more unsettling. Like, there's nothing for us to look into their souls with. There's nothing there.
So apparently, I mean, it's not really a big spoiler, but apparently in the new one, Alien Romulus, that came out, it's stated that they see temperature and noise. Since they don't have eyes, they have to rely on their other senses.
Right.
And I just think that's really good that they do focus on that in later films.
Okay.
And actually, I really enjoy that they decide to, because me and the Butt My Show were supposed to watch this together, like, obviously, through the space-time continuum of a phone call. But we watched it within, what, an hour of each other?
Something like that.
I think.
We watched it in parallel. I was still sending him some of my live reactions.
Yeah. And then his response was, a slice of life. No, that was me. I said that. Was it? Oh, I got it. Good so far. There's a reason it is always referenced in building good sci-fi and horror sci-fi. Perfectly efficient environment world building.
And I
respond.
Yep.
It's amazing slice of life. Not a life I would want to live in, though. LOL.
I want to go back Meister's slightly response. In that chat because a little bit beforehand you had checked in on me and you were like, you doing all right? You need me to jump in and finish it with you? And I responded with, I haven't screamed yet, but I did just turn on my side table lamp.
Yep.
So, like, accurate description. I was fine, But I was also like, I'm going to turn on a light and I have the remote in my hand and I know where the mute button is if I decide I need it. But I did not mute the movie, nor did I turn away or avert my eyes for any of it. That being said, the last 20 minutes of this movie, with when Ripley, when Sigourney Weaver is the last man standing and is running away from this alien and is straight up playing Alien Isolation, she gets into the ship and you think she's fine. Right, she thinks she's fine. She's driven away for she hit the self-destruct button on this giant ship. The thing that was on it should be dead. She's flying away. She's in her underwear. She's relaxing. She's getting ready to go to sleep. Her cat Jonesy, who has been the chillest ginger cat this entire movie, is warning her, "Hey, you're in danger." And right when she thinks she's okay, she sees it. It's right there. It's stalking her. It's ready to pounce. And she... it's just straight up... vacs it out of the... out of the emergency exit. Just get out of here. Into the vacuum of space. But the whole... that last 20 minutes of the movie is some of the most intense... I was stressed out watching her. I was stressed out for her. They conveyed that so well.
I agree with you. And... to make sure the listeners don't correct you, final girl, she's a final girl, because in horror films, if you're last, you're it's
yes
70 yes. It's 99% of the time it's women, they're called final girls. Just want to make sure.
All good. Just want to make sure. No, thank you for the addition there. And she absolutely she is the first and the finest, in my opinion. Correct. Of the final girls, because she fights her butt off.
Correct. The slime that was used with the xenomorph, guess what kind of jelly that was?
What kind of jelly was that? Do I want to
know? KY jelly.
Ew. It makes sense.
And Ridley Scott, I'm sorry, we should say Sir Ridley Scott, because he...
is he knighted?
He was knighted.
Sick.
Sir Ridley Scott says that three movies influenced him for this movie. Do you want me to name them all, or do you want to guess?
Go for it. Go for it.
Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, obviously.
Cool.
2001, Space Odyssey.
Cool.
And the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense.
And the original cut for the movie was 3 hours and 12 minutes.
I would watch that.
Well, go watch the sequel called Aliens, because it's really good. And it is probably almost 2.5 hours, but it's really... also, apparently, Sigourney Weaver and Meryl Streep were in the running for Ripley until the very end, right? And they were friends in Yale while they were going to Yale. But ultimately, it was given to Sigourney, because at the time, Streep was mourning the death of her partner, so they kind of just gave it to Sigourney because of what Meryl Streep is going for. I'm not saying that it was a great choice to give it to Sigourney Weaver, but in an alternate universe, I would love to see a Meryl Streep led alien. I would love to see that.
Hell yeah. Awesome.
And shredded condoms were used for the tendons for the xenomorph's jaws.
The practical effects in this movie to pull off so many amazing visuals and make this thing as terrifying as possible really cannot be understated.
No, I agree with you 100%. Also, you know the little blue laser light?
Yeah.
That John Hurt goes, oh, there's some weird film. That was from the WHO that was testing lasers for their stage show when they were filming next door in the soundstage.
That's fun.
But, yeah, I mean, how... do you want to talk about the music? Jerry Goldsmith music?
Jerry Goldsmith's absolutely iconic score for this movie. It's very minimalist, for the most part. There aren't a whole lot of super recognizable themes or motifs, but the moods are all there. the vibes throughout the movie are creepy and unsettling. Even in places where this crew is supposed to feel safe, the music is kind of spelling out to you, this is not as safe as you think. And it's one of the iconic horror scores, without a doubt.
Does the music really set the mood for it? Like
100%.
Does it genuinely?
100%.
Okay. And we did discuss this because we both watched this, and I pointed this out to the Bumeister, but I think you already knew this beforehand. So it said in the title sequence, music by Jerry Goldsmith, conducted by, forgot his name. But you said it's also very rare that they actually do that.
So here's the thing. We're all big John Williams fans on here. John Williams is kind of the exception to the rule in that usually you've got the composer sitting in the sound booth feeding instructions to the conductor, who's then communicating to the ensemble. John Williams does both. He's on the podium conducting his own music. He's one of the only film score composers to really do that. And Jerry Goldsmith had his own conductors and ensembles with the LA Phil and you name it. Same with Michael Giacchino, has his own conductor on the stand. Hans Zimmer hardly ever conducts his own music. He's usually sitting in the booth listening to the result over the headphones and adjusting balances as needed. It is unfortunately kind of rare for a movie to actually credit individual members of the ensemble beyond the composer. But can you find the name of that conductor, Admiral?
I will try and find it.
But that is pretty rare. Like I said, Jerry Goldsmith, who the Admiral and I know from making such iconic music for the Star Trek franchise, and so many other things.
Wait, you know him personally?
Never said that, Admiral. I'd love to know Jerry Goldsmith personally. That'd be awesome.
Lionel Newman.
And if you vent for just a moment, I can look up what ensemble he actually conducted for.
But no, I'm glad that Jerry Goldsmith does iconic roles. And now when we do this show, Cinema Gems, and we go back and we watch movies, we can see, wow, Jerry Goldsmith did this. Oh, Hans Zimmer did this.
Lionel Newman is the uncle of Randy Newman. He is the uncle of Nepo composer and jazz musician Randy Newman. And he has been... Yeah, kind of.
Nepo baby.
He's mostly been, Nepo as far baby. As I can tell, the conductor for, and I want to double check this before I misstate the ensemble. He's done a lot of conducting for 20th Century Fox. So yeah, it is kind of rare that a conductor actually gets credited on here, but I'm glad he did. It's pretty great.
All right, so the last thing I want to talk about is, do you want to know the ages of all of the crew on the Nostromo in real life?
Go for it.
Okay, so the captain, 46. Okay.
Okay.
John Hurt was 39.
Okay.
Bilbo, 48.
Yep.
Harry Dean Stanton, the gentleman with the Hawaiian shirt that died after John Hurt, 53. Yaphet Kotto, 42. Veronica Cartwright, 30. And Sigourney Weaver was 28 years old.
Nice.
Wow.
That, yeah.
So, if it's okay with you, but Maestro, before we give the gem rating, I kind of want to talk a little bit about Alien Romulus, which,
please,
as you noted before, that... this came out a couple weeks after Alien Romulus. Like, I think this is the first week of October, and we're recording this in the middle of Bond month. But is it cool if I take the reins of the podcast?
Go for it. Go for it.
Okay, so without spoiling anything, Alien Romulus is an amazing sequel that is set in between Alien and Aliens. And it is very iconic for the time, I guess, in a way, because back in the day, you didn't really have any of the principal actors come back if there was a sequel to a very famous film, if that makes sense. Is that so? It's really nice to get a whole new crew and actually understand and not fall in love with these characters, but care enough about them and what happens to them while it's all going on. Because a bunch of the other ones, because I did pull up the order of the Alien movie, and Alien came out in 79, Aliens came out in 86. Both of them, Alien has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. Aliens has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Alien 3, 48%. Alien Resurrection, 54%. AVP, 22%. AVP Requiem, 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. Then you start to get bump up. You get Prometheus, 73%. Alien Covenant, 65%. The new one, Alien Romulus, is at an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I
would say definitely check it out if you can.
I know I'm in the minority of Alien franchise fans that actually likes Alien versus Predator. I know it's bad, but I actually kind of like it, and I don't hate the sleigh ride of friendship.
Hey, it's okay with the sleigh ride of friendship. It's fine. But all I suggest is that just if you want to really love it, or hate it, I guess, in this point. If you want to really hate it, go back and watch it now that you've seen the original Alien.
Right.
Go back and watch it and be like, oh!
There are a handful of pretty major contradictions, unfortunately.
Of course. But yeah. I don't really have anything else to talk about it unless you want to do the rating system. Do you want to talk about anything else before we go?
Yeah. So if that's the case, here on Cinema Gems, we have a pretty simple rating system. Whole gem, amazing movie. Loved it. Half gem, it's just all right. No gem, don't worry about it. Don't even waste your time with it. Admiral, where does this iconic piece of science fiction horror land on your radar?
The original Alien from 1979 would have to be a brightly full gem. I really love it.
One,
it is really iconic.
100% agree.
But Maestro, what do you give Alien from 1979?
Oh, 100% agree. It is a shining gem of, it is the shining gem of the genre. With, like I said in the beginning, without this movie, we wouldn't have Dead Space. We wouldn't have so much of the 40K universe that is definitely inspired by this. The Tyranids from 40K, and by extension, the totally not Tyranids in the StarCraft fandom are very clear ripoffs of Xenomorphs. H.R. Giger's designs have been iconic for decades and still scare people to this day. And I've been saving this one little tidbit for the end here. Why I've only seen this movie once or twice. When I was a kid, Butt Maestro Sr., my father, told me that he saw this movie in the theaters, and it is the movie that scared him away from seeing any other movies in the theaters for a few decades. This is the movie that caused my dad nightmares and trauma. The people who were average moviegoers at the time that this came out were not ready for how absolutely terrifying to the core this movie is.
I think that's really well put, and I'm also sorry for Butt Maestro Sr. I hope he's okay.
Oh, he's fine.
Okay,
I've taken him to other movies since.
Oh, okay, cool. I was worried that this movie, that Alien like swore him off for all other movies. Okay, I was worried for a second. So I guess the real question is, do you consider the quote unquote xenomorph bug like or more lizard like? Because I feel like it's
both.
Okay.
Both.
Okay. I was going to say it's probably a hybrid of both, but I feel that it's more bug than anything. But that's just me. But yeah. So guys, just remember to thank Marty and the Arrogant Observer for allowing us to be on their website, lowrainpictures.com. Also, Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. But Maestro, do you have anything else to say to our listeners before we head on out?
Absolutely. Thank you, as always, to our amazing Swapper Jacks friends and family members for all the ideas and support. Thank you, all our Cinemaniacs, for still listening. And thank you, you listening to this right now, for letting us be a part of your day. You know where to find more stuff like us. That's going to be lonerainpictures.com. And before you hit the Cinema Gems tab, obviously hit the Year 30 tab and listen to some of their stuff. And then come down to the Cinema Gems tab and go through the list and find a movie you like or don't like and hear us talk about it for somewhere between 30 to 40 minutes.
Yep. Oh, and also one last thing. You know the sound effects for the Xenomorph? Do you know what sound they use?
Please tell me.
Killer whales. Orca sounds.
That makes perfect sense, actually. And I'm sure that there are several YouTube documentaries and behind-the-scenes things that y'all, the Cinemaniacs, can go watch if you haven't already. And go find out how this amazing, iconic film was made and how so many of the amazing practical effects in this movie were pulled off.
Yep. Yes, because we inspire you to go listen to deep dive video essays so we can both talk about them together. Or all of us collectively. One last thing I want to say before
we're just a bunch of nerds that want to share our nerd knowledge.
And one last thing I want to say, and I know the Butt My Show is going to be kind of probably a little bit upset at
this. Go for it.
But
go for it.
I forgot to mention when it came out and the budget and everything. I know this is your favorite thing that I do.
Go for it, Admiral.
The original release date was May 25th, 1979 in the United States. And then for some reason it was released 4 months later in September 6th, 1979 in the UK.
Okay.
The budget was $11 million. You know what the box office was?
What'd it do?
Over $184 million.
Insane. Yep. Probably why they're still trying to make more.
They're trying to capture that lightning in a bottle again.
Oh, still to this day.
Yep. Guys, just remember to take time for yourself before you can help others. Just relax. It's okay to breathe. It's okay to not pour from an empty cup. Don't light a candle from four ends and become a flame windmill.
There it is. That's what I was waiting for.
It's okay to help yourself before you can help anybody. Because that's what you do. You relax. You breathe. It's okay.
We love y'all. Exactly. Please don't be afraid to tell us what we're missing out on by emailing us at cinemagems15@gmail.com. We love y'all so much.
Yes, guys. And just remember to wipe your hooves and see you later. But remember, Black Lives always matter, guys. Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.
See you later.
Thanks, y'all.
No one can hear you scream at the end of the podcast.